Next speaker.
On the topic of increasing response rates when surveying medical practices, a survey example is Daniel Weston with a series of background there.
All right. Well, good morning. I am Daniel Weston, and I was a survey manager for the Ohio Electronic Health Records Survey, which is a survey, and I work at the Ohio Colleges of Medicine Government Resource Center, which is housed at The Ohio State University. This was done as a collaborative effort with ourselves and the Statistical Consulting Center at The Ohio State University. Now, my disclaimer it didn't show up. Okay, well, anyways, this was funded by the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, and we were interested in estimating the number of medical providers, utilizing or planning on adoption of an electronic health record by 2015. And so a medical provider could be a medical specialist, a family practitioner, a dentist, a nurse practitioner, or a nurse midwife. Okay, so these were our five strata. And a little bit of background about myself. I have my MBA. I'm currently finishing my master's in statistics, so I have some analytical prowess, if you would, but I'm more on the manager side of things with our survey, and this presentation is going to be more of a how-to and what we did to increase our sample size. One of our main questions were, what is the current uptake in Ohio of electronic health records? Another question is, what is a key barrier to adopting electronic health records by a medical provider and looking across those five strata? And again, to estimate the proportion of EHR adoption by 2015. This is significant because of the MPIP, the Medicaid Provider Incentive Program, which if you can show meaningful use, and what is meaningful use, and you meet a Medicaid volume threshold, you're eligible for a payout of up to $63,750 over the course of 5 years. I believe it's in the range of $23,000 the first year, and then $8,500 subsequent years as you demonstrate meaningful use with your electronic health records. This can be up to 80% of full purchase and implementation price. And our sampling frame was Medicaid's 2009 provider practice list, the Medical Provider Association member list, and the NPI, the National Provider Identifier Registry for Ohio. And again, with our five specific strata. Now, this provided some interesting problems for our survey because a Medicaid billing number perhaps could house one medical provider, 10 or 20, or if you were part of a large practice, I mean, you could have as many as 200 practitioners billing on the same Medicaid number. And this presented some interesting challenges as we were trying to predict the number of providers, not practices, who had adopted an electronic health record, because the MPIP is at the provider level, as all providers would need to backdate all their records and scan them in, train their staff, and so on and so forth. So actually, in a different paper and on a different topic, perhaps next year, we will be presenting two different methods that we use to get around this problem. But here we are. Now, initially we went at this, as you would expect, with a pre-notification process, a postcard notification, an email notification. We had emails on 60 to 65% from our Medicaid provider list, as well as the NPI, the provider registry. And we gave a number of options. You could mail back the instrument, and it was postage paid. We also requested a fax response if that would be more preferable. And you could actually call in. It's not on here, but there was a telephone number where you could call in and do it over the phone. The instrument was coupled with a cover letter from the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services explaining the MPIP program. We did not offer a financial incentive to complete the program, but the cover letter pretty much detailed out that we would, as part of doing the survey, we would answer any questions that the provider would have about how to go after this $63,000 in incentive. So you could say we didn't offer an incentive, or you could say we were offering $63,000 for the completion of the survey. Either one, it was a bit ambiguous, and so some nurses were calling us frantic, trying to win that lotto ticket, and others, I'm not sure. But let's say our survey carried a lot of weight for a Medicaid provider because it was attached with our cover letter from the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. Follow-up, after 2 weeks, there was a postcard. After another 2 weeks, there was another postcard that went up. Again, two follow-up emails. And we sent out more prepaid postage for those who had lost that. So that was very expensive, and that fielding process was about 4 weeks. And after 4 weeks, we sent out the more postage paid envelopes. At the end of 6 weeks, we had a 6.4% response rate. And at this point, our survey was set to finish, and we had said the fielding process would finish now, and we had estimated that we could reach 20% of providers. And so at this point, I can back up a second. Of the Medicaid providers, because you have to demonstrate a volume threshold of Medicaid patients for everybody except pediatricians, you must be at 30% Medicaid volume to be eligible for the MPIP, and for pediatricians, you must be at 20% Medicaid volume to be eligible for the MPIP. Because of this, we only sampled those practices servicing more than 200 Medicaid patients. Again, not perfect, but we believe that if you serviced as a practice more than 200 Medicaid patients, there's a good probability that your providers would be above the threshold. Although not entirely true, but again, just one way to get around the problem. So we had 8,000 potential practices in our universe. Actually, ironically, exactly 8,000 serviced more than 200 Medicaid patients, and of which we sampled 4,350. So after 6 weeks, we were right at the 6.4% response rate, which I believe was 334. Not anything which you can do much statistical power with at all, and so we continued the fielding process. At this point, I actually feel like I'm missing a slide, although I was supposed to review this after I upload it. After 6 weeks, we utilized a telephone follow-up when we hired six graduate students to begin to utilize a follow-up telephone survey. And we did this for 2 weeks, and I know that there's a slide coming that introduces this. This faxing approach is a little bit out of order. At the end of those 8 weeks, we were at a 12% response rate, at which time we utilized a follow-up faxing approach. And this kind of came out of the telephone. Some of the graduate assistants were saying that, can we email you the survey? They'd ask the provider or the lead nurse, and they said, we don't have email, and that's part of the problem because there's no electronic health records, so could you fax it to us? And we began to realize the language of medical providers was fax. As rudimentary as that was, at that point, every fax number on that Medicaid provider list was entered into fax machine. In fact, a graduate assistant was paid for 24 hours of standing typing telephone numbers in because you can't write a script to fax a Medicaid provider. It's actually illegal. So the queue would fill up in the fax machine, and we'd go to another one and fill it up, and we faxed out as many faxes as we could in 24 hours. Now, after 6 weeks, we were at 6.4% response rate, and the material cost per response was $32.33. Postage and envelope cost, very, very expensive. After 8 weeks, that 2 week of telephone interviews, we almost doubled the number of responses we had by our telephone survey, and we did it with a cost of $8.36 per response. The 1 week of faxes and the follow-up faxes, we bumped our responses up 336, and we did it at 97 cents per cost, and that's with indirect cost, and that's one graduate student paid it. A graduate student rate typing in plus the indirect cost to cover the phone bill, the long distance, which I don't believe we actually pay long distance anymore, and then the paper to print off of a fax machine, and then whoever gathered those faxes up. So not insignificant difference in cost, and something that caught our attention quite rapidly is the 6 painstaking weeks as you're waiting for letters to come in, and they just aren't coming, versus fax machine that just didn't seem to ever stop returning faxes. And I'm not convinced that we would have had more had our fax machine had more time to process all those faxes coming through. I mean, we saw some. Being involved in this process from start to finish, I saw some interesting things, and we are set to go back into the field in 2012. And at this point, we will start by faxing all our providers the survey instead of the process that we used. One problem, potential problem that can crop up with our non-response follow-up is a non-response bias. I mean, but because of the population we were targeting, those without an electronic health record, and really the program, the survey program, was not only to educate the providers about the MPIP program, but really to find out where we were as a state so we would know what to budget. So we had to get our estimates right. When we did our and a colleague of mine has presented at a number of locations, doing a non-response, looking at our non-response bias, it's really negligible when you look at our faxing approach, because this just seems to be what providers still their method of communication. And what we have here, medical professional practices are more likely to respond to multiple contact modes. Faxing medical practices was more effective than electronic communications or postage methods. And sometimes old school technology is necessary to increase the effectiveness of new school technology for hard reach populations. So this is kind of one of our grand conclusions from here. Now, one thing I am working on currently, well, I'm writing a paper and it's not yet published. We're looking at small area estimation to try to estimate where we are on a county-by-county region with our electronic health records uptake in Ohio, barriers for electronic health records. And if you're interested, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. I tried to leave time. Where am I at?
You have about 6 minutes.
6 minutes. So I tried to leave time for questions. I would like to acknowledge the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, Elizabeth Stasny with the Ohio State University Department of Statistics, Timothy Saar, my boss, Jenny Skurek from the Ohio State University Consulting Center, and Lauren Rambaum, the director of the Ohio Colleges of Medicine Government Resource Center, for their efforts in this project as well.